Amen. So there in 1 Timothy 4, and in 1 Timothy 4, we see the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, who is a young man in the ministry. He's a pastor, and I want you to notice what Paul tells Timothy there in verse number 12. He says this, he says, let no man, notice, despise thy youth. Here we have Paul speaking to a man in the ministry, a pastor, and he tells him, look, Timothy, people will judge you, they will critique you, they'll criticize you. He says, let no man despise thy youth. Why? Because when you're in ministry, guess what? People will criticize you. But he goes on to say this. He says, notice, but be thou an example of the believers. It says in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. See, Paul tells Timothy, even though, yes, people will be criticizing you, people will be judging you, people will be looking at your life, Timothy, he says, but you, be thou an example of the believers. And the title of my sermon this morning is Be Thou an Example of the Believers. See, Paul tells Timothy to live in a way where people can look at you and they can see the life of what a believer ought to look like. Amen. See, what does it mean to be an example to people? You know, you think of a good example, you think of someone that you look to that you want to imitate, that you want to be like. You know, somebody who is a good example will live their life in a way where people will look at them and they would want to emulate them. They don't want to copy them. They would want to be like them. Here Paul tells Timothy to be that example of the life of a believer, to live like a believer. And on Wednesday night, you know, Pastor spoke about this, and he spoke about the fact, as he was going through 2 Corinthians, about the fact that, you know, our lives are really, they're going to be made manifest. You know, people will look at our lives and they're going to see the life of a believer. And there's a few words, and I want to quote him this morning. There's a few words he said in that sermon that really stick out to me. And he said this. He said, whether you like it or not, they're watching you. Whether you like it or not, they're judging you. Whether you like it or not, they're looking at you, and they have this idea that says, here is what Christianity should look like. See, people are looking at your life, and whether, as he was saying, whether it's right or wrong, people are judging you. They're looking at you, and in their minds, they're choosing to see, this is how a believer lives. This is what a believer looks like. This is the model. This is the example of a believer. And that's why the Bible says that we are ambassadors for Christ. Right. You know, in the same way an ambassador, they represent a foreign country, a nation. In the same way we represent, we are the picture. We are the image of Christianity out there in the world. Amen. He replaced there in 1 Timothy 4, but go quickly to Deuteronomy 26. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Paul tells Timothy, be thou an example of the believers. Go to Deuteronomy 26. And look, in the Bible, we see both, right? We see people who are good examples, people we can look to. You see men like Moses, like Joshua, like Paul, for example. People who are good examples, the hard worker, the diligent man. But then we see also bad examples in the Bible. People who we should not be like, who we should not want to be. You see the slothful person, people who are lazy. You know, you read about men who are like Diotrephes, like Korah, like Ahab, you know, just bad examples in the Bible, people who we don't want to be like. But, you know, as God's people, you and I should set the example of how people ought to live in this world. See, God expects us to do what? To set the example, to be different than everyone else, and to show the world, hey, this is an example of what a believer looks like. Deuteronomy 26, look at verse number 18. The Bible says, notice, here we have Moses speaking to God's people. He says, and the Lord, in verse 18, hath avouched thee this day, notice, to be his peculiar people. You know, the word peculiar means that you're different. You're special. You don't live like everyone else. No, you set the example. It says, as he hath promised thee, that thou shouldest keep all his commandments. Notice verse 19, and to make thee high above all nations. See, God's will for his people is that we would be high above all nations. That the way we live, because of the statutes, because of the judgments, because we follow the word of God, our lives are not like what the world has to offer. That our example is high above everything else that the world has to offer. See, our lives, the way we raise our kids ought to be different than the world does. The way we live our lives, the way we go to work, it should set the example. It shouldn't be like everyone else. No, we should be high above all nations. See, God's people should be the best people in this world. Amen. We should be the ones setting the example of how to live, of how to live a pure life, of how to be holy. Why? Because we love the word of God, because we follow his statutes. It says, and to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. See, if God's people, if we don't set the example, then who will? And you think about Sacramento, you know, what people outside of Verity Baptist Church are setting the example for Christianity in this city? No one. No one, because what other church can you go to where you hear the word of God preached, where you can actually apply the word of God? And like, if we're not setting the example in the world, then my question is, then who is? Who can people look to if it's not going to be us? Can you place it in Deuteronomy? Go back to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. So Paul tells Timothy, he said, be thou an example of the believers. But I want you to notice what Paul is not saying here. Because we read this and we read Paul speaking to a pastor, somebody who is in the ministry. But I want you to notice that Paul is not saying, hey, Timothy, you live in a way that's completely different than every other believer. Notice again, it says, let no man despise thy youth. Notice, but be thou an example of the pastors. You know, is that what it says? To make sure that the way you live your life is the life of a pastor, because nobody else can live like you. No, it says, you be thou an example, notice, of the believers. You see, we have this false idea in our society that we think that somehow the pastor and his family are set to a different set of rules, that they should have higher standards than everyone else. But no, wait a minute. It says, no, be thou, Timothy, an example of the believers. And so if you think, well, the pastor better live a certain way, the pastor should live a certain lifestyle, well, wait a minute, aren't you a believer as well? Are you not a believer? It doesn't say be that an example of the pastors to make sure everyone can see that the way you live your life is different than everyone else. Because look, if you have this mindset that says, well, it's okay for me to do something, but it's not okay for the pastor. It's like, well, wait a minute. Are you not a believer as well? It doesn't say be that an example of what a pastor ought to be. Like, no, be that an example of the believers. So when you look at your pastor, what you see is an example of what a believer ought to be. So you got to look at your pastor. And thank God that we have a pastor and his family and a pastor's wife that we can look to as a good example, not just of a pastor and a pastor's wife, no, but a good example of the believers. And so you ought to look at him. You ought to listen to him. You ought to learn from him. See, being an example means that you can look at them and you should be like them. You should emulate. You want to copy what they do. Why? Because they're a good example. In the same way, like you in your life, with the people who are around you, because look, people are watching you. Wherever you go, whether it's in your home, with your family, when it's at work, when you're going to the store, it's in this church, you ought to realize that people are watching you. In the same way, look, we can look to our pastor as an example. Truth is, people are watching you, and you ought to set the example of the believer. And if you have higher standards for the pastor, then guess what? Those should be your standards as well, because they're just as much of a believer as the rest of us, right? So in the same way that people look and listen and learn from our pastor, people should be able to look and listen and learn from you. 1 Timothy 4, look at verse number 12. Notice what it says. It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word. Notice what it says, in conversation. You know, what is it? That's the way you live your life. That's your manner of life. That's your lifestyle. See, what does it mean to be an example of the believer? It means that people should be able to look at you, to look at your life, to look at your lifestyle, to see how you live, and see the model of what a believer ought to be. Keep place at 1 Timothy. We go to Titus 2, if you would. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And look, all of us, we ought to live our lives that we also are an example of the believers. You know, it's not good enough that just one man has to be the example. No, we should all be that example. And if you see him living a certain way, having certain standards, then you know what? Guess what? That's how we should live too. That is our example. It says, be thou an example of the believers. And like, and if you're an older Christian, you should be the example for the younger Christians. Right. Titus 2, look at verse number 2. Notice what it says. It says that the aged man, notice, be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. You see, what kind of example should we as men leave to other Christians? Should we show to other Christians? Well, it's one of being grave, of being sober, of being serious, of taking the things of God serious. You know, one example that I love that we can look at our pastor, we can see a pattern of him, is that the man takes the things of God serious. Amen. But you know what? It's not just enough for him to do it. No, we should do it as men. As men, people walk in here, they should see that we as God's people, we as men, we take the things of God serious. When they come in here, they should see us actually listening to the sermon. They should see us actually singing the hymns. They should see us actually following along, amening in the sermon, applying the sermon. And it's not enough for one man to take it serious. No, we all need to take it serious. Amen. And so if we're not going to do it as men, if we're not going to lead the charge, men, then who will? Right. See, we should be sober. Set the example of being sober, of being serious. Look, a young man should walk in here and say, you know what? These men in this church, they take this serious. Amen. They're not playing around. They're not playing games. Amen. See, we ought to set the example of the believer and show them, hey, what we do is serious. You know, and we see the example of our pastor going soul winning every week, in church 3 times a week, you know, serving in every capacity they can. Look, that is our example. You know, what should I as a young man do? You ask yourself, well, you should be going soul winning every week. You should be free to thrive, whether it's sunny or whether it's a little bit cloudy, whether it's cold or whether it's warm. Look, follow the example. And you set the example for those around you. Why? Because people are watching you. People are judging you. And if they don't see you taking the things of God serious, then look, then there's nobody else to do it. Who are they going to look to? See, the older men should be setting the example for the younger men. But not just that, but the older ladies, they should be setting the example for the younger ladies. Titus 2, look, verse number 3, it says, notice, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine. Notice, teachers of good things. Being able to teach other ladies as well. And look, the truth is, when people come to our church, we tend to conform to one another. I mean, could you imagine if, for example, our pastor was up here preaching in t-shirt and jeans? You think you would be sitting there in a suit? You know, you'd be following the example. You'd be conforming to him. But in the same way, look, ladies, you would be wise, young lady. Look, if you're a young lady, you'd be wise to look at your pastor's wife and look at the other ladies in the church who work hard in the house of God, who work hard, who serve. You would be wise to not just look at that example, but actually follow that example and be the one to volunteer and be the one to work hard and follow the example of those ladies. It says in verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. What does that mean? That means that you're not just babbling, you're not just complaining about everything, about your life, about how things are at home. It says you're discreet, you're chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Notice what it says. It says that the word of God, notice, be not blasphemed. You know, the word blaspheme means to speak irreverently about the things of God. You see, why would people actually blaspheme the word of God based on how we act? Well, it's because they're judging Christianity based on us. Look, the world, they're not out there reading the Bible and seeing what it says. No, they're watching you and they're watching me. And the way we behave can actually cause them to blaspheme the word of God. See, we should be setting the example. The older Christians should be setting the example for the young Christians. And look, and in the same way that you can look at your pastor and follow that example, look, that should be you as well. You should be the one setting the example and showing them how it's done, because it's not enough for one man to do it all. It should be you as well. Verse number 6, notice, even the young people can be an example. It says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. You know, young person, you got to set the example to take the things of God serious. You know, one thing I try to impose in PE class for my young kids is that the older kids in my class, they should be setting the example for the younger children who are coming up. You know, we have kids in our PE class. In my class, they range from like 15 to 7. And here's the thing. Those 15-year-olds, you ought to be setting the example to the 7-year-olds. Be an example. Take the things of God serious. You know, in your home, if you have younger children or younger siblings, you ought to be setting the example for those siblings who are younger than you. It says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. It says this in verse 7, in all things, notice, showing thyself, making it manifest, letting the world see. It says, showing thyself, notice, a pattern of good works. What is that? That's you deciding to set the example. So realize, it's not just, well, the pastor better be the only one to live separately, to have these standards. No. He's an example of how you ought to be in your life. And for those who are around you, guess what? People are watching you. And they're looking at you, and what you show them from Christianity is what they're seeing, is what they're judging. So you got to be the person to do what? To set the example. See, the older Christians should set the example for the younger Christians. But not just that, go to Proverbs 23, if you go to Proverbs 23. You say, what does it mean to be an example? It means people can look at you. People would want to emulate you. Is that you act as a model of Christianity? Not just that, but you know what? Your parents should be setting the example for your children. Your parents, mom and dad, your kids ought to be able to look at you and see the example of a believer. Because, like, it's not enough for us to come to church and say, kids, you listen to the pastor, you look at the pastor, you look at the pastor's wife, and you do what they do. You listen to them. No. They need to go home and see mom and a dad setting that example as well. it's not enough. Look, bring your kids to the right church, and I'm all for bringing them to the right church, is not enough for us to raise the right kind of kids. They need the example, not just a few times a week, no, every day at home. Proverbs 23, look at verse number 26. Here's something that every dad should say to his children. It says, my son, notice, give me thine heart, notice, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Amen. You know, as dads, you know, we should be able to tell our kids, son, give me your heart. But not just that, it's also this, son, watch me and let me show you how it's done. Amen. Observe my ways. Amen. You see, as fathers, if we want our kids to be to live righteous and holy, they better see a dad who is righteous and holy. A dad who goes to the church three times a week. A dad who is soul winning. Look, that is the example they ought to see in us. We ought to be like Gideon, who says, look on me and do likewise. As I do, so shall ye do. See, it's not enough to tell our kids what to do. We ought to show them how to do it. See, we ought to be setting the example. Show them, hey, you know what? It's not just the pastor who, yes, he is setting the example. But you know what? Guess what, son? It's me as well. It's also dad. Let me show you how it's done. Observe my ways. And let me show you what a man of God looks like. Not just that, go to Proverbs 31, Proverbs chapter number 31. Because look, people are watching you. And look, if you're a parent, you got to realize, whether you realize it or not, look, your children are watching you. And they're following your example, whether it's good or bad. Whether it's right or wrong. They're following the example. Look, what you show them is a lot more valuable than what you tell them. You know, your walk talks more than your talk talks. You know, whatever that saying is, right? What you show them will go much further than what you actually tell them. Proverbs 31, here we have speaking to the moms. It says, notice, in verse 27, it says, she looketh well to the ways of her household. It says, and eateth not the bread of idleness. You know, do you think this mom is giving the example of being a lazy mom? It says, she eateth not the bread of idleness. She's not just sitting around, lounging around, doing nothing in her pajamas. No, she's working hard. And notice the result in verse 28. It says, her children arise up, notice, and call her blessed. You know, these kids, I can imagine, they're not being forced to call mom blessed. No, they see a mom who's working hard, who's setting the example. And because they see that example, they wake up and say, and they call her blessed. They want to bless her. Why? Because they see an example of a hard-working mother. It says, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, notice, and he praiseth her. See, as parents in our home, we ought to be setting the example for those around us. Because if we're not going to do it, mom and dad, like, it's not enough for just the pastor and the pastor's wife to set the example. Look, they need to see you at home doing the same things. Look, it is hypocrisy for us as Christians to tell our kids to do one thing, to behave one way, and then we go home and we behave completely different. Right. Look, we should be the ones setting the example. Go to Titus 2, if you would. Go back to Titus 2. Titus 2. Paul told Timothy, be thou an example of the believer. And look, and if you think to yourself, well, this is the way that the pastor should live, but we get to live a different kind of way. Well, wait a minute. Are you not a believer? I mean, you have to get this mindset out of your head that the pastor and the pastor's family, they should live completely different because they're a pastor. No. They should live different because they're a believer. But guess what? So should you. So should I. Titus 2, here we have the example that you men ought to show at your job. It says in verse 9, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. Notice, and to please them well in all things. Not answering again. You know, your testimony at work, men, speaks volumes of who you are as a man. It says here that you ought to obey your own masters and notice and to please them well in all things. Meaning what? Meaning, men, when you're at work and your boss tells you to do something, guess what? You do it. You say, yes, sir. It says, not answering again. You don't talk back. You don't criticize the boss. You just say, you know what? Yes, sir. You ought to set the example. And look, why is it that we're afraid to set the example out there in the world? It's because we're afraid to be different. We're afraid of people mocking us and criticizing us. But look, this is what it means to set the example. This is what it means to actually to be the leader. Because guess what? When you're the leader, guess what? People will despise your youth, Timothy. People will look at you differently. They will mock you. They'll criticize you. They'll talk bad about you. But guess what? You just be an example. You just show them how it's done. In verse number 10, it says, not purloining, that's stealing, but showing all good fidelity. And notice it says showing, making it manifest. And what's fidelity? Fidelity means loyalty. And look, so when you're at work, man, you should show your boss, guess what? I'm honest. I'm loyal. I could show you these things. Notice what it says, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. You know, the word adorn means to dress up. It's to make it look beautiful. You know, you can live in such a way in the world that you can actually wear and beautify the doctrine of God just by the example that you leave. And in the same way, look, the example could be a bad example where people around you, they could blaspheme the word of God and say, this is what a believer looks like. But no, we should be adorning the doctrine of God, making it look beautiful. How so? It's by being the example out there in the world. It's by being honest, by living righteous, setting that example. And no, it's not just for the pastor and the pastor's wife. And you know what? You should look at them. But they're not the only one. They're not set to a different standards. No, they're set to the same standards that you and I are set to. Go to 2 Timothy 3, if you would, 2 Timothy 3. See, what does it mean to be an example of the believer? It means that people should look at you. And what they see should be what a believer ought to look like. 2 Timothy 3. And look, in verse number 10, we see what our goal should be. 2 Timothy 3:10, the Bible says this, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, notice. And he says this, and manner of life. He says, thou hast fully known my doctrine, and not just that, but also my manner of life. What is that? That's the way that I live. Setting the example. Showing you how it's done. And look, we as God's people should be the ones setting the example, which means what? Which means, guess what? They can look at our lives. They can fully know our manner of life. And what we can show them, guess what? What we can show them is a model of Christianity. So if you think to yourself, well, if I'm doing things that people shouldn't be looking at, or I don't want the pastor to see what I'm doing, or the pastor's want to see what I'm doing, then guess what? Then you probably shouldn't be doing those things as well. Why? Because thou hast fully known my doctrine. Our lives are made manifest. And when they look at us, what they should see is the example of a believer. Go back to 1 Timothy 4, if you would, 1 Timothy 4. See, what does it mean to be an example of the believer? It means that people should be able to look at you. And what they see is an example of the believer. But not just that, number two, it means that people should be able to listen to you. You know that your words, what you say, what comes out of your mouth says a lot about who you are. And look, we live in a day when people are just, they don't control their mouth. Look, I've been on planes where people are just talking to each other and just curse word after curse word after curse word, like it's like it's nothing. But you know what? As God's people, we should set the example, not just of how we look, but also of what we say, of the words that come out of our mouth. This is why pastors always teaching us to do what? To be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know, God, preachers always telling us, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? I mean, what would that cause you to do? That would cause you to think about the words that you say. And so, look, realize that you say a lot about who you are, about what you represent, based on the words that come out of your mouth. And I like recently the illustration that Pastor used about the toothpaste. And he says that what's inside of you eventually comes out. The same way a toothpaste gets rolled up, and that pressure pushes the toothpaste out. When pressure comes in your life, look, the words that come out of you, they reveal a lot about who you are, about what's inside of you. And look, and if you listen to the world, look, the world is speaking of filth and wickedness. Out of their mouth just proceeds just nothing but, there's no control, there's no restraint to their lips. It's just every foul thing, every foul word. But look, that ought not to be me and you. We should set the example that what we actually speak is different than what the world does. In verse number 12, 1 Timothy 4, again, he says, let no man despise thy youth. Notice, but be thou an example of the believers. Then he says this. He says, in word. What is it? That's your speech. Those are the words that come out of your mouth. Because whether you like it or not, look, people are judging the words that you say. Go to Luke 11, if you would. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Look. When you start telling people that you're a Christian, then you start going to church, they start trying to, once they know this guy has a testimony of being a believer, look, better believe they're watching how you live. But it's not enough that you just act the part. No, the words that you say ought to be different as well. We should set the example with our words. In Luke 11, I want you to notice in verse 53, Luke 11, 53. After Jesus was preaching, notice what he says in verse 53. It says, and as he, this is Jesus, said these things unto them, notice the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently, notice, and to provoke him to speak of many things. You say, why? Verse 54, laying wait for him, notice, and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Like, this is why even Pastor mentioned recently that once people know you're a believer, and once that bad word slips out of your mouth, which it shouldn't, But guess what? They're up in arms about it. Why? Because, well, I thought you were a believer. And they're just laying in wait to accuse you. Why? Because the way you speak, guess what? Yeah, it should be different. And we should set the example of how we speak out there in the world. Go to Titus 2 for Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And like, it's a shame the way people speak today. The way young kids speak today, it is an embarrassment. It is a shame. And like, this is why, you know, your parents would be wise not to allow your children to have just access to anything online, to the internet, because you don't know what kind of filth they're listening to. And like, the way the world speaks, it's an embarrassment. Titus 2, look at verse number 7, it says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Notice in verse 8, sound speech, notice that cannot be condemned. And the word condemned means to be found guilty. It means that when you speak, guess what? People can't say, well, you were just saying those bad curse words. What about that? No, sound speech, guess what? They can't be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. See, what you say says a lot about you. And as God's people, we should not speak like the world speaks. We should have a different vocabulary. Go to 1 Timothy 4, if you would. 1 Timothy 4. We should set the example with our words. People will judge us. And look, as God's people, we should set the example of purity with our words. We should set the example of purity. Look, in a world where curse words are becoming a normal, like that not to be for God's people. We ought to be pure people, be holy people. 1 Timothy 4, look at verse number 12 again. It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, notice, and in purity. In the Lord, purity means free of contamination. Go to Ephesians 4, if you go to Ephesians 4. As you go to Ephesians 4, the Bible says in Colossians 3, it says, but now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And look, when you start speaking differently, guess what? People will start noticing. They'll start seeing that example, which is why, look, when you decide to start cursing and swearing, people around you, guess what? They're going to follow that example. They're going to realize, man, I shouldn't curse and swear around this person. Why? Because he's a believer. For Ephesians 4, look, verse number 29, says, let no corrupt communication, verse 29, proceed out of your mouth. Notice, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. See, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. It says that it may minister grace unto the hearers. See, look, as God's people, we should set the example of purity with our words. The words that we speak should be pure words. And if it's difficult for you to not speak pure words, look, the way you do it is to get the word of God in your life. Yes. It's to close your mouth, read the Bible, let it fill you up inside so that eventually all you can speak is the words of God, is the words that are pleasing to the Lord. Look, because it is ridiculous the way we live today, the way the world works, just curse word after curse word, filthiness after filthiness. Look, we should be high above that. We should be set apart. God's people should be pure people. In purity, setting the example. And look, and if you're at work and people are cursing around you, why don't you be a man and set the example and not curse like them? Right. And just show them, hey, no, I don't speak like that because I'm a Christian. Amen. Let me go give you the example of what a Christian sounds like. You say, what should I do? Why don't you listen to your pastor and hear the words that he speaks and actually be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Ask yourself, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? And allow purity to flow out of your mouth. See, as God's people, we should be set apart. How so? By purity, by the words that we speak. But not just that, your words should set the example of peace. Your words should set the example of peace. Go to Proverbs 15, if you would, Proverbs 15. And look, what does it mean to be an example? It means, guess what? You're willing to do what's right regardless of the circumstance. It's having character. It's showing people, guess what? No, we take the things of God serious around here. That we're not playing games. We're actually applying what the Bible actually says. And look, your words should not only set the example of purity, but your words should set the example of peace. You're going to Proverbs 15, but in Romans 14, 9, the Bible says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Look, when we speak, especially when we're in conflict, our goal should be to seek peace and ensue it, to pursue peace. And when we speak, our words should be words of peace. Proverbs 15, look at verse number 1. It says, notice, a soft answer turneth away wrath. You know, when you're in a conflict with someone, the Bible says a soft answer, it does what? It turns away wrath. Notice, but grievous words stir up anger. See, when you're in conflict, you should decide to be what? To be the bigger person and to actually set the example. And see, you know what? I'm not here just to spit out words and just to stir up anger. No, I'm here to bring peace. And it's the soft answer, it turneth away wrath. So when you find yourself in conflict, realize, it is the words that you should be different. You should set the example that, guess what? I'm actually gonna seek peace. Because look, when you go out there, you can't accidentally bump into someone without a fight happening. You can't look at someone in the eyes, otherwise there's gonna be a fight. You can't cut someone off on the freeway, otherwise you're gonna be blaspheming and saying all filthiness out of their mouth. And look, in the world, they're just quick to fight. They're just quick for war. They're just angry people. But look, God's people, we should be seeking peace. Go to 1 Peter 3, if you go to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. See, as God's people, we should set the example of the believer. Meaning, when we speak, our words should be words of peace. 1 Peter 3, look at verse number 10. The Bible says in verse 10, "For he that will love life and see good days," notice, "let him refrain his tongue from evil." You know, the word evil means harm. You're not using your words just to hurt people, to harm people. "Let him refrain his tongue from tongue and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." Amen. See, we got to set the example. Look, if God's people don't set the example with the words that they speak, then who is? Right. Look, we ought to be high above the nations. We ought to be different than the world. We ought to speak differently, speak words of purity. If we're not going to do it, then guess what? Nobody's going to do it. Nobody's going to do it if it's not going to be us. Go to Proverbs 29. If you go to Proverbs 29. See, when we speak, our words should set the example of purity. When we speak, our words should set the example of peace. When we speak, our words should set the example of patience. Proverbs 29, look at verse number 20. It says, notice, Proverbs 29, 20. It says, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him." And like, we live in a day where people are just hasty with their words. They don't think about what they say. And look, when you get some bad news, you know, naturally your flesh wants to just say something foolish. You know, when you get bad news or somebody does you wrong, you want to say something just to get back at them. And what it shows, when we're hasty with our words, when we're just quick to lash everything out, it shows that we don't have any patience. And really, it shows a lack of faith in the Lord. Because look, when you get some bad news, instead of just blurbing out everything you want to say, you have some patience and say, you know what? Something bad just happened. Let's pray to the Lord. Let's pray to God. You know, if somebody does you wrong, well, you know what? Maybe they're going through a hard time. Have patience with your words. Go to Ephesians 6, if you go to Ephesians chapter 6. See, our words should set the example of patience, meaning we're not hasty with our words. And look, we live in a day where people are just too quick to speak. We got to think before we speak. Set the example of patience with our words. In 1 Timothy 6, we have Paul speaking to the fathers here, again, to the dads. And look, I'm reading this part because, look, this is me. Even this morning, I thought to myself, look, I need this for me. It says in Ephesians 6, verse 4, it says, "And ye fathers," notice, "provoke not your children to wrath." And look, dad, I understand you want to... You lose your patience with your kids sometimes. And you say things. And things just come out of your mouth and you're upset and you yell at them and you snap at them. But it says here, "Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So look, we as dads can actually bring our kids up in anger, in wrath, based on what? Based on our response to them with our words. But you know, look, kids are going to mess up. And look, kids mess up, but you know what? The example ought to be from dad. Is that, you know what, even though, yeah, kids can drive you crazy, but you know what, dad, he was a patient man. And look, kids grew up and they're gonna realize, look, that they were pretty annoying as they were kids, right? But they're gonna have the example. You know, even though, yeah, dad had a hard time, he had a bad day, you know what, dad gave me the example of patience. Dad was patient with me. That's what I hope that my kids grow up and say, you know what, my dad, guess what, he was a patient man. Why? Because he was slow to speak. He was kind. He brought me up with nurturing words. And look, and the words that we say, look, the words that we speak when we lash out at our kids, as fathers especially, we could bring them up in wrath and make them angry with our words. So as dads, guess what? We should set the example of what? Of being patient. of showing them, look, dad is patient. Go back to Proverbs 31, if you, Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31. We got to set the example with our words. Proverbs 31, this, of course, is for the moms. In verse number 26, it says, notice, she openeth her mouth, in verse 26, with wisdom. Notice, and in her tongue, notice what it says. It says, is the law of kindness. You know what this, the testimony of this mom was? This virtuous woman with her kids? It's not that, man, mom was just constantly yelling at me, snapping at me, talking down at me. She says, you know what? No, mom, in her tongue was a law of kindness. She gave me the example of being kind to me. Look, as parents, we should bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the example that we leave should be one of patience. Look, your Heavenly Father is patient with you. He's patient with me. We got to be patient with our own children. And give them what they need. Give them the nurture. And not just be snapping at them. And of course, look, there's time for correction, obviously. But there's a way to do it. But when we're hasty with our words, the example that we leave should be one of patience. And realize, look, dad and mom are there to help you, to guide you, not just to snap at them. No, to bring them up properly in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. See, God's people, you know, we should be different. We should set the example, meaning they can look at us, they can listen to us, and what they see is something different. What they hear is something different. The Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. See, there's a way that we ought to speak to people. And the way we speak, we should set the example. We should let people know, hey, no, I'm a believer. This is how I speak. And we in this room, the Verity Baptist Church, shouldn't have this idea, well, it's okay for me to swear, but, you know, the pastor better not swear. No. He's an example of what you ought to be doing as well, of the believer. Go back to 1 Timothy 4, if you would, 1 Timothy chapter 4. See, what does it mean to be an example of a believer? It means that people should be able to look at you, and what they see is an example of how every Christian ought to be. What does it mean to be an example of the believer? It means that people should listen to you, and what they hear should be an example of the words of a believer. And number three, what does it mean to be an example of a believer? It means that people should be able to learn from you. You know, people should look at you, they should listen to you, but they should also learn from you. 1 Timothy 4, look at verse number 12. Again, it says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation. Notice, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You know, there's something deeper than just all the rules and all the standards that we have. It says, be an example in charity, you know, in spirit, you know, in faith. You know, those things, you can't fake those things. Those things come from within you. And look, what the world sees, look, the world, they see the standards. Yeah, the world, they see the haircuts, they see the dresses, they see us going out there knocking doors, they see the homeschooling, they see the schedule, they see that we speak differently, but you know, there's something a lot deeper than just the standards. You say, why? Why should I set the example? Well, keep reading. It says, notice, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Verse 15, notice, meditate upon these things. It says, give thyself wholly to them. It says, that thy profiting may appear to all. See, Paul tells Timothy, you know what? You got to meditate. Just meditate. Just think about these things. He says what? He says, give thyself wholly to them. You say, no, the Christian life is only for the pastor to give himself and the pastor's wife. They should give themselves wholly to them. Wait a minute. No, they're the example of the believer. If they give themselves wholly to things of God, guess what? That is your example as well. We should be giving ourselves wholly to the things of God. You say, why? It says here, it says that thy profiting may appear to all. It says it's for the benefit, not just for themselves. No, it's for the benefit of other people. That our profiting, the way we live our lives, when they see us, when they listen to us, it's not so that we can benefit. No, it's for the sake of others as well. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You see, there's something deeper than just the rules, than just the standards. And look, thank God that we have a pastor who upholds the standards, who preaches the word of God. But when you take all those things out, there's something much more that he's trying to teach us. And it is a love for God. It is a fear of God. You know, I hope that my kids grow up and have those standards and live right, not just for the sake of having standards and having rules, it's for the sake of actually loving the Lord. Look, that learning, teaching that is much more valuable than anything else. And look, and when you love the Lord, when you actually fear the Lord, guess what? Everything else seems different, seems easy. Because look, if it's hard for you to see the standards, to see the way they live, to hear the way they speak, if it's hard for you, it's like what Pastor said, well, maybe you don't love the Lord enough as you should. Look, there's something deeper that we can teach people that they can learn from us, and that is a love for the Lord. Go back to Deuteronomy 4 if you would. Deuteronomy. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 4. And what does it mean to be an example? It means that people can learn from you. And look, because look, people are watching you, and they're judging you, and they're criticizing you. But guess what? What you can teach them is worth so much more than what they see. What you can teach them means more than anything. Deuteronomy 4, look at verse number 5. It says, notice, behold, in verse 5, again, Moses speaking to his people, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Deuteronomy 4, 6. He says this. He says, keep therefore and do them. And then he says, for this is your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations. See, Moses told his people, you know what? When you actually live right, when you set the example, when you have those standards, when you speak differently, he says, when you do those statutes, when you keep them, he said, this is your wisdom and understanding in the nations. This is what's going to make you different. This is what's going to set you apart, what make you that example. You say, why? Well, notice what it says. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear of all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Verse 7, for what nation is there so great? Notice what it says, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for. Did you see what I just said? When they look at you, when they see how you live, they're not saying, man, just look at those dress standards. They say, no, look at that God. What other people has God so nigh unto them as the people do, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Look, you got to have a goal, is that when you live right, when you look right, when you set the example, what they ought to see is a person deep down who loves the Lord, who is close to God, who loves Jesus, who loves the word of God. And look, that is more important than anything. Like, and when they ask you, hey, why do you live like that? Why don't you watch those movies? Why don't you listen to this music? Why don't you drink that? You tell them, because you know what? I love Jesus. Amen. Because you know what? I have a God, and I'm close to God. And who? Nobody else has God so nigh like we do. Nobody does. Amen. And that's what we need to be teaching people. It says, for what nation is there so great? And I would submit there's no greater people than God's people. Who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that it hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before, notice, you this day? See, the statutes and judgments, they're not just for the pastor and the pastor's wife. No, they're for you as well. You say, he better live like that. Don't worry, he's living like that. But you know what? That's an example of a believer. And you know what? You should set that example as well. You say, to what purpose? It's so that you can teach people, so people can not just look at you, not just listen to you, but actually learn why you do what you do. Learn about the Savior who died for you, about the Word of God that you love, about the God that you serve. Because it's not just rules for having rules. No, it's because, you know what? Nobody has God so nigh unto us like we do. Go to 1 Peter 2, if you would. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. See, what does it mean to be an example? It means that you're able to teach people. People should be able to learn from you. They should be able to see not just someone who just has rules for the sake of rules. No, what they should see is someone who actually loves and fears the Lord. Amen. 1 Peter 2, look at verse number 12. It says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. What is that? That's your example. That's the life that people see. Notice that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, oh, they're going to criticize you. Notice, they may buy your good works. What is that? That's your example. The example that you leave. Notice what it says, which they shall behold. Notice, glorify God in the day of visitation. Is it to glorify ourselves? Look, do we have standards just so that we can look down on people and just make people feel bad and just so that we can feel better, that we're better than other people? No. It's to glorify God. Amen. And so that they can behold our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. See, and look, what we can teach them is much more valuable. And look, once we teach them about the Savior about the Word of God, guess what? They'll start having those standards as well. They'll start wanting to live right as well. But it comes down to what? It comes down to us being what? Being an example of the believer. Showing people how to live. Showing people how to speak. Showing them that we are different. So my question for you is, you know, what do people see when they look at you? Can you say, you know, I'm an example of the believer? I mean, because look, we would all say, look, our pastor and his family, they're an example of the believer. But we would all say that, but can people say that about us? Because look, that's what we should be doing. What do people hear when they hear you speak? Can we say, look, this is an example of the believer? You have to ask yourself, you know, what can people learn from your life? Are people able to see God glorified in how you live, God glorified in how you speak, giving them that example of somebody who actually just, not just has standards, but deep down in their heart, they love and cherish and fear the Lord. Go to Philippians 4, we'll be done. Philippians 4, look at verse number 9. Philippians 4, 9. So you and I, we got to be setting an example as well. Why? Because people are watching us. People are judging us. They're criticizing us. And as Pastor said, look, they are determining what Christianity looks like based on how you live your life. Philippians 4, in verse 9, we see what we should all tell people, of those around us. Philippians 4, 9, it says, notice, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. See, Paul was a man who, he was able to tell you, hey, you know what? I lived that life. I gave you that example. No, it's not just for the ministers. It's not just for the pastor and his pastor's wife. No. Paul says, you know what? It's for everyone. And he says, everything that I've learned and received, you've seen it all. What you've heard and seen in me, he says, notice, he said, do. He said, follow that example. Do what I do. Let me show you how it's done. Let me be an example. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. Look, that should be our goal for everyone. We should be able to say, you know what? We live a life that people can look at us and they can emulate what a believer looks like in their life. It says, notice, and the God of peace shall be with you. You say, is it rules just to have rules for rules' sake? No. It's because deep down there is a person who loves the Lord. And guess what? You can teach them that. By going out there, getting them saved. By discipling them. Teaching them the Word of God. But look, we got to be setting that example. And look, and if God's people don't do it, who's it going to be? So ask yourself, you know, can we say we are an example of the believer? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I'm sorry, this morning, Lord. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for everyone that's here. And I just thank you for our pastor, Lord, and his family, and the example that they give us. And I just pray that we all can look to him and listen to him and learn from him and help us all to love you and to fear you and to realize that, look, we just need to love you more and to fear you more, and all those standards and things, they'll come along. But the goal is for us to put you first in all things, to have a heart for you. And I just thank you for everyone that's here. I thank you for our church and the blessing that it is. I pray that you be with our pastor as he travels back, Lord. And just be with our lives, God. Help us to be pleasing in your sight in all that we do. We love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.